Okay, left off on Daf Hey Amud Beis. Last time we tried to explain what was the issue with egos al gabi mayim. That egos al gabi mayim, according to Rava Barur, that we don't have over here a proper base for Akira. Is it the issue with the cheftza, with the egos, that the ego somehow lacks a certain stability? It's not nach. Or is the issue, no, the egos is nach. The problem is the water. The problem is that the base, we need a makom chashuv. And a makom chashuv is not only a makom of dalad al dalad, a makom chashuv is also a makom that has a degree of stability. And the issue is not with the egos, the issue is with the water. And from this, we pointed out that we have a machlokas between Tosos on one hand, the Ravid, the Rambam, and even the Tosos Yeshanim on the other hand, and a nafkamina would be, and we pointed out in the Rashash, in terms of the world of Tumah, where you can have the exact same case as we have over here in our Gemara. Our Gemara comes up with a teku, and in Tumah, over there it says that Barur, that we have that which is Nach in Rishus HaYachid. So the Rashash himself said, oh, you have to explain our Gemara like Tosfos. You have to add in another finagle factor, that it's Kederach Shematzniyim within our Gemara. And therefore, even if it's Nach, but it's not enough to be Nach, it has to be Kederach Hamatzniyim. It goes Lekula, Lechumra, in both directions. However, we pointed out that according to the Rambam, the answer could be the Rambam, Tosis Yeshanim, the Ravid, the answer could be very, very straightforward. Nach is not enough. B'chol HaTorah Kula, Nach is enough to make something part of Rishus HaYochid. But in Shabbos, we have another din. We need a basis. We need a base. You need a makom chashuv. And the chitzaron, the moment that you have water, is the lack of that makom chashuv. That's the issue over here. The lack of the makom chashuv. And as opposed to mayim al gabei haaretz, that there the aretz is the basis. But when you're doing something al hamayim, that's where you have the issue of so mayim al gabei mayim. We view it all as being on the aretz, but anything else on the water is viewed as though the water is the basis, and that's where the chisaron is. That's what we dealt with last time. Just one he'ara, and that is most seen, I think, in Rabbeinu Chananel. We pointed out, why did we get to this whole sugya? Who's talking about water? Who's talking about nuts? We're talking about Rav Yochanan on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. Rav Yochanan had a statement in which he pointed out, Hichnis yado l'tol chatzir chaveru v'kibel megishamim v'hotzi chayav. That's where we got into this whole sugya. In what situation, in what hechetimtza, are we talking about that you were oker the megishamim? And we answered it was the mayim al gabi mayim. And then we moved over, mayim al gabi mayim, that's a good base for Akira. But had it been an egos al gabi mayim, that would not have been a good base for Akira. If you look over here in Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Chananel points out that we have this din of Rav Yochanan, and v'uk me rava kagon shekolat me al gabi haguma, Nimtza hamotziyo l'rishus harabim shekoli makom dad. Rava l'taime dama rava mayim al gabi mayim haynu hanochasan, egos al gabi mayim lav haynu hanochasan. Then the Rabbeinu Chananel continues. In my Gemara, it's like three lines before, there's a bold print of boy rava. Kagon, she'okar v'hotzi egozim mirishus hayochid, unesanam al gabi mayim birishus harabim, akira ika hanochaleka. What did Rabbeinu Chananel just do with this example? He says, if you take nuts out of your house and you put them down on a pond, and that pond is in the Rishus Harabim, that's a problem. What did he do with the Gemara? The Gemara was dealing with what aspect of the world of Hotza'a? Akira. Our Gemara was dealing with Akira. It pointed out that when you take a nut off the water, that's not a proper Akira. Rabbeinu Chananel says, "Hu hadin, when you put a nut down on water, that's not a proper hanacha." And then he continues in that same framework. Boy Rava Hotzi v'nasan egos b'kli v'kli nasan b'mayim mahu baser egos gazlinan etc. Also b'teku hotzi shemen v'nasan al gabe yayin. In other words. Mm-hmm. No, okay, that's really, you know, it's the moment he says Kigon she'akar v'hotzi egozim yishus hayachid. Is this really, you know, it's, should there really be a similarity between the world of Akira and the world of Hanacha? Again, our sugya deals with Akira. The Rabbeinu Hananel moves over to the world of Hanacha. What about Tosfos? Tosfos that we learned by egos. Was he dealing with Akira or with Hanacha or with both? Our Gemara deals with Akira. Rabbi Nochananel brings in Hanacha. From Tosis' question, what's the case over there? Is that a case of Akira or Hanacha? Hanacha. You want to put something down on the Sfina. There are fish that are floating in the air, and the world of Pi, they come down on the Sfina. Boom. They come down on the Sfina. The Sfina, the question is, do we have over here a Hanacha? And so Tosfos was bothered, in the world of Chatzar, the Sfina is the Chatzar Mahalechas. What about in the world of Shabbos? And Tosfos distinguishes between the world of Kinyan and the world of Shabbos, dealing with Hanacha. Fine. And it makes sense to say that if we have an issue of something which is Nach, which is Na, which is unstable in the world of Akira, that breaks the Akira, the instability would also break the Hanacha that we have in Rabbeinu Hananel and in Tosfos. But if we look in Rashi, Rashi appears to be very, very one-directional. Rashi over here points out, and let's say the Mahu Detema. Mahu Detema, Lav Hainu Hanacha, son, the Tehave Akiraso Akira, the Hanaydi Vaazli. He says that it's clear, Kamashman Hainu Hanacha, son, Akiraso Akira, that with the water, we would have thought that water on top of water would not be a meaningful Akira because it's moving around like jelly. Kamash Malan, that it is considered to be a proper Akira when we take it off of the water. The same sugi is quoted. I'm sorry that it was mistaken. I said Sari Tesim Beis through Kufa Med Aleph. I was talking over here, not above Metzia, over here in Shabbos. If you look in Shabbos at the bottom of Tzadi Tesim Beis, we have our sugya. Amar Rav Pshitli Mayim Agabi Mayim Hainu Hanachasan. Nothing to do with our sugya. Nothing to do with Rav Yochanan. Stam. The din of Rava. Rashi over there says, Hainu Hanachasam, Im Natal Mikza. The bottom line on Tzadi Tesim Beis. Tzadi Tesim Beis, the bottom line. Over there, Rava is brought in. Amar Rava. Pshitli Mayim Agabi Mayim Hainu Hanachasan, Egos Agabi Mayim. And then we have the suffix egos bekliva klitzav. That's the sugya over here, tzaditesim edbeis through kufa medalef, parallel to our sugya, but not in the context of Akira. What does Rashi say? Hainu hanachasan v'im notal miktsasan v'hotzi havi Akira. Rav hainu hanachasan in notal misham rav Akirahi. All he speaks about is Akira. He doesn't speak about hanacha at all. Similarly, in the Rambam. When the Rambam brings our sugya in Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Dalet, what does Rambam say? Haya omed ba'achas b'shtei rishuyos u'poshat yadol rishu shnia v'notal misham mayim al gabe guma mleyev ha'otziyan chayav shehamayim kulan kilu munachem al ha'aretz. Only brings in the din of Akira. Namely, even though Rabbeinu Hananel and Tosfos learn our sugya as a two-way street, whatever is going to work in Akira will work in Hanacha. Whatever is going to be Chisaron in Akira will be a Chisaron in Hanacha. When it comes to Rashi and the Rambam, they only bring our sugya in terms of Akira. What echoes do you have over here? What could you say that how did Rashi and the Rambam understand our sugya? Excellent. That maybe the whole din of Makom Chashuv. Again, we pointed out that this requirement of Nach. You require, this is, we point out, you know, it's a Rambam, certainly Tachin Rashi as well. Tosfos is understanding over here the question in terms of the egos. Is it nach or is it not nach? That, l'chora, is a two-way street. But the moment we're dealing with the Rambam, and the Rambam is dealing with the makom, that you need a makom chashuv, and a makom chashuv is not only dalet al dalet, a makom chashuv is also a makom that has stability. That's what the Rambam learns the sugya. So Yitachin, that's only in the world of Akira. Akira, to be oker a chayfetz, you have to be oker from a makom chashuv. But Hanacha, we saw that Rabbi Akiva, you know, where it's kluta kemisha huncha, that's a din in Hanacha, that we don't need makom dalet al dalet when it comes to Hanacha. Rebbe, you don't need dalet al dalet when it comes to Hanacha, right? The Gemara says, maybe Rabbi Akiva is only by, you know, where it's by Hanacha, not by Akira. Maybe Rebbe is only by Hanacha, not by Akira. the Acherim who says you don't need Dalet al Dalet on Dachayim at Aleph, the Gemara says, V'dilma, you know, where it's Akira b'inan, Hanochad lo b'inan. In other words, maybe, again, that in other words, there's a difference in standard between Akira and Hanacha. So just as we wanted to say that maybe the whole din of Kluta Kamisha Huncha, this patent, that you don't need a Hanacha al Gabe Dalet al Dalet, Rebbe, that you don't, you can, it can fall on the Ziz. You don't need Makom Dalet al Dalet. Acherim, you don't need Makom Dalet al Dalet. That's only by Hanacha. So Hu Hadin, maybe the whole problem over here of Mayim is only in the world of Akira, but in the world of Hanacha, maybe it's not a problem.
What's the source of the difference?
The source is that we have three Gemaras. We had by Rabbi Akiva, it said that Dilma Hanacha Hu Delo Baya Akira Baya. We had by Rebbe, Dilma Hanacha Hu Delo Baya Aval Akira Baya, the Gemara in Zayin Amud Beis. We have by Acherim, Dilma Hab, in other words, Dilma Habina El Shmein Alabina Makam Dilma Hanacha Hu Delo Beinon Ha Akira Beinon. The Svara is again dealing with the world of Hotzah, that the Iker in the world of Hotzah is uprooting an object, and you can only speak of uprooting an object if it's rooted, if it's on a makom chashuv and a makom chashuv which is nach. Then we can speak about uprooting it. You know, then you have the conditions for uprooting. But hanacha, it simply has to go to another rishus. In that other rishus, it doesn't necessarily have to be rooted. It doesn't, you know, it's a machlokas. But again, but Rashi and the Rambam yitachen that they're going in that direction of distinguishing between akira and hanacha. According to Tosos, that we're talking about the chayfetz itself, that it's tnai in the chayfetz. There's no nafgamina between akira and hanacha. But according to the Rambam, and that we're dealing with the base, and Yitachen Rashi is also that way, maybe, then the Iker is that we require this base in the world of Akira, not in the world of Hanacha. Okay, just a Ha'ara. It could be that, you know, simply that since Rav Yochanan dealt with Akira, that's why our Sugi deals with Akira. But why would the Rambam limit it to Akira? The Rambam, you know, is giving us a rule. Why would Rashi bring in only Akira on Daf Tzadi Testament base? That's something to do with Rav Yochanan. That's Rava's halacha in a vacuum. Lo yodeh. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. The third restatement of Rav Yochanan. Amar bi Avin, Amar bi Loi, Amar Rav Yochanan. We're a little below the middle of Das Heyamid base. Haya ta'un ochlin umashkin, v'nichnas v'yotze kol hayom kulo, Eino chayav ad sheya'amod. Here we have this huge Rashi. I mean, compared to the Gemara. I mean, what does Rashi do with this statement of Rav Yochanan? Haya ta'un ochen umashkin. According to Rashi, what's the ikar over here? Ta'un ochen umashkin. What's missing over here, according to Rashi?
Akira.
Why? What's missing in the world of Akira? The machshava, namely, we up to now spoke about ta'u and as someone else putting it on him. According to Rashi, that's not the Iker who puts it on him. The Iker is why he is holding this. Haya ta'u, and according to Rashi, is simply an idiom. It's a code for saying he didn't pick it up in order to take it out. That's the way Rashi understands. Haya ta'u and mashma de lo ta'no likach. El haya ta'u and birshu sayachi kdei holicho mizavis lizavis. He's just walking, carrying things in his house, back and forth. That's why Rashi learns Ta'un. And then, Eino Chayav Ad She Ya'amod. What does that mean, according to Rashi? Where is he going to stand? In Rishus Hayachid. You're Chayav for standing in Rishus Hayachid? What does it mean, Eino Chayav Ad She Ya'amod? That's going to be a new beginning. In other words, that he's walking around currently without any machshava to take things out. If he were to walk out of the house currently, there would be no malacha, because there was never a proper akira. But if he stops in the house and thinks, I'm going to go out, and then he goes out, then when there's going to be a hanacha, he's going to be chayav because of the amida in the house. All of this Rashi puts into the statement of Rav Yochanan. Haya ta'un ochen umashkin v'nichnas v'yotze kol yom kulo eino chayev ad shi ya'amod, and then you go out and then you're nach and then you're chayev. Is there another way of learning the Gemara? We'll see. But something pushed Rashi in this direction, right? That in other words, if I was reading the Gemara without Rashi, I never would have come up with this Perush. I would have assumed that you're somehow something, someone put things on you, and you yotze v'nichnas kol hayom kulo, eino chayev ad sheyamod, and then when you're omed in Rishus HaRabim, you're chayev. In other words, what pushed Rashi over here to learn that, no, the omed is going to be a new beginning. Eino chayev ad sheyamod, and then you take it out, and then you're nach v'chulei. Let's skip a few lines within Abaye, because Abaye is not that which is Rav Yochanan. He's making a very good point, but it's not the Iker. But the Gemara then asks on Rav Yochanan, my kamashmalan, what is Rav Yochanan teaching us? Shelo hayesa akira misha'a rishona lekach, is the issue one of a lack of machshava within the first akira? So Rashi working backwards. Ha'amara Rabbi Yochanan chadazimna. Dama Rav Safram, Rabbi Ami, Rav Yochanan, Hamavira or Hamafane, Chafatze Mizavis Lizavis, Vinimlach Aleihem Vahotzian, Patur, Shelohayesa Akira Misha'a Rashana Lakach. Here, Rav Yochanan says it black and white, right? So, what did Rav Yochanan add in the statement that Rabbi Loi and Rav Oven heard from the statement that Rav Safra heard from Rabbi Ami? We have the same principle, that in order to be chayev, you have to have an akira with a machshava. So the Gemara answers, Amoroi ninhu, mar amar la b'haylishna, umar amar la b'haylishna. In Achinami, Rav Yochanan only had one statement. Some of his Talmidim gave a certain framework to a statement. Other Talmidim gave a different framework to a statement. But it's all basically the same. So according to Rashi, bottom line, the first statement, the second statement, are twins. Just that we have a different language. In other words, when it says Tayatoun, it's a code phrase for meaning that he was Mavir Chafatzim Mizavis Lizavis. That was his intent. And Omed Lekach is the Nimlach Aleihem Vahotzion, that if the Nimlach had an Amida, then he'd be Chayev. And if the Nimlach didn't have an Amida, then he would be Patur. Namely, it's the same statement, same halacha, with a different way of reading it. If you look at the Rambam brings these two statements of Rav Yochanan in two different halachas. In halacha Yud Beis, in Perek Yud Gimel, he says, Akar chefetz mizavis zo lahanicho bezavis acheres, Nimtzes zo akira hamuteres. He was never in intent to take it out. And then nimlach baderech v'hotziyo l'rishu shniya, patur. Ne shelo hayesa akira rishon alakach. Nimtzes hanocha b'lo akira. This is exactly the second statement. This is Rav Safra, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rav Yochanan. Going back four halachos, halacha ches, we have the following statement in the Rambam. Lefikach. Im yotza b'chefetz shebiyado o al gabav. Right? That's what we have in our Gemara. That we have hayatoun ochlin umashkin. V'lo amad birishu shniya, ela chazar v'nichnas, v'hu biyado, afilu yotza v'nichnas kol hayom kulo, ad shi yotza hayom, patur. Right? This is v'nichnas v'yotze kol hayom kulo, then you be patur. The Rambam continues, Lufisha akar v'lo hiniach. V'afilu amad l'takin hamasu yadayin hu patur, ad shi ya'amod lanuach. Ad shi ya'amod. Namely, that the Rambam read the Gemara the way we would have read the Gemara without Rashi. That the first case is a case where he did an akira, yotza b'chefetz b'yado o al gabav, and he was yotze v'nichnas kol hayom kulo, and he is not going to be chayev unless he stops in Rishus HaRabim. If he's not going to stop in Rishus HaRabim, he's going to keep going back and forth. Let's think to yourselves of a soldier. A soldier picks up his gun in Rishus HaYachid, and his job is to go from his barracks, make a circle of the base, back to the barrack, back to the circle of the base, yotzei v'nichnas kol hayom kulo, if he doesn't stop somewhere outside, if he keeps walking, which is his job, then there's not going to be any chiyuv on Shabbos. If, however, he stops, right, lafush, he stops to take a rest, then he's going to be chayev. B'chorah, that's what the Rambam is, in other words, he's reading the Gemara like the Gemara. The problem is, I mean, what pushed Rashi to scratch his left ear with his right arm? Why did Rashi explain the first time of Yochanan differently? Because the Gemara links the two statements. The Gemara asks, "Mai kamashma an shalayasa akira mishar rishan lekach hamar Rav Yochanan chadazimda." Rashi reinterpreted the first statement of Rav Yochanan that it will coincide with the second statement, and then the Gemara makes sense. Why would you have two statements say the same thing? If the Rambam wants to learn the first statement of Rav Yochanan kipshuto, like it says, "Eino chayev ad sheyamod," namely, we're dealing with an akira that was a proper akira. He planned to go out, but he planned to go out and go in and go out and go in and go out and go in and go out. But if he stops, then he's going to be chayev. How did the Rambam learn the Gemara? How did the Rambam learn the connection between the two statements? Because the Rambam paskins like both statements, but he passed like one in halacha ches and one in halacha yud beis. In other words, he understood that we have over two halachos. What's the common denominator between the Rambam within these two halachos? Let me ask you a question. The yesod of the second statement of Rav Yochanan is that we need machshav alakach, that when you do an akira, you have to have something in mind. What do you have to have in mind when you do the akira? That you're going to take it out. Okay. That's the question. In other words, when we speak about the fact that Rashi points out, there's this din of melechas machshevas. It's not enough that you do an act in Shabbos, but you have to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you're shogeg, you're honest, you're misasek, you're a million and one things. You have to know what you're doing. So here we're dealing with a malacha which has a certain continuity. What do you have to intend when you are oker? Do you have to intend, I am oker, namely, I am beginning a malacha that could end up, or could not end up? But the ikar is, I have a kavana for akira, I am just taking this object out. Or do we have to say, like Rabbi Blech, I have in mind to do a total malacha. I am oker, and I'm planning also to be meniach. No, but the question is, at what point do you have to have the kavana of the hanacha? Do you have to have the kavana of the hanacha already within the akira? Or no, I have a kavana to begin a malacha. That's all. I have kavana to begin a malacha. Namely, everyone agrees that if you have kavana just to be meziz, me zavit le zavit, that's no good. But what if I have kavana to take it out the door? But I'm a soldier. I have kavana. My orders are take this rifle out and walk around and come back and walk around and come back and walk around and come back. Is that considered to be a kavana of akira? Or no, that I have to have kavana to put it down in Rishus HaRabim. According to which side would the Rambam be kafta v'ferach? Would the Rambam be perfect? That then we have two halachos that mamish match one another, that they're saying the exact same thing. No, I'll read the Ram again. Lefikach, im yotza b'chefetz shebiyado al gabav lo amad birushushniya ela chazar v'nichnas v'hu biyado afilu yotza v'nichnas kol hayom kulo ad sheyotza hayom. Potter, why is he potter? Why is this individual potter when he takes out the gun and he goes in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out? Why is he potter? The Rambam says, Lefisha akar v'lo hiniach. But he did an akira. What was his kavana in the akira? To go out. That's considered to be a meaningful kavana. A kavana to go out is a meaningful kavana. The moment he stops, ad sheyamod lanuach, he's going to be chayev. You don't need a kavana to be meniach as well. The Rambam is telling us, as long as you have a kavana to do an akira, that's considered to be a kavana. Mashen kenocha yudbeis, akar chayfetz mizaves zo anicho bezaves acheres, nimtza akira zo akira muteres. If you have no kavana, or you have kavana to remain in the Rishus HaYachid, then if you go outside, then part of fish lo hayasa akira rishon alakach. Namely, the two halachos coincide. That you need, in order for it to be an akira, you need kavana. But which kavana do you need? a kavana to take it outside. That's all you need. Then in the first case, if you have a kavana to take it outside, it's like you're potentially a going to be chayav. If what? If you stop. If you don't stop. So in Achana, we had an akira. We didn't have a hanacha. In the second case, in other words, we had no kavana to take it out. Then even if you put it down, you have the first case you have an akira without a hanacha. Second case you have a hanacha without an akira. But the common denominator of the two cases is you don't need an akira with kavana for everything. All you need is an akira with kavana to be motzi. Then the two halachas. So why do you need both halachas? You need an akira with kavana to be motzi. You can be medayik that from the first halacha. That the moment that you're meniach, you're chayav. Why? You didn't have a kavana lahaniach? No, you had a kavana to be okir. So what in the second halacha you don't? Namely, these two halachas, one Talmud remembered, the other Talmud remembered, both of them are going in the same direction. Both of them are coming to the same conclusion. Kach nirali that the Rambam would learn this sugya, when we speak about akira misha arishona, you need an akira to be okir, not an akira to do the entire malacha. Because then, be'emet, there would be no... Then be'emet, the first halacha, Rambam would not make sense. Mein nafkamina that you're nach. You never had an akira to do the malacha, to be nach. All you had an akira was to go back and forth. Okay, so that's what we have over here, my humble opinion. Rashi reinterprets the first statement of Rav Yochanan so that it coincides exactly with the second statement. The Rambam learns the first statement as it's written. Ad shi yamod means ad shi yamod b'rishus harabim, and then you're going to be chayav. But what's the chiddush? That even though you picked it up, nichnas v'yotzei kol hayom, you only had a kavana to be oker. You didn't have kavana to be meniach. That's enough. And that's what we'd see in the second halacha as well.
So how did the Rambam hold if you picked up the kavana to do meniach?
Kal v'chomer that you're chayav. In other words, what? No, everyone would agree if you pick it up in order to do the final hanacha, barur that's a melechas machsheves. Everyone agrees that if you pick it up with kavanah to remain in the house, that doesn't get off the ground. The chiddush of Rav Yochanan is that if you pick it up with kavanah to be oker, that's all that you need. That's all that you need. And then if you're omed in the rishus harabim, you'd be chayev. If you're never going to be omed in rishus harabim, even though you had a wonderful akira. Ha'akar v'lo hiniach. As Rambam says, lefisha akar v'lo hiniach.
If you when you pick it up, you don't have a machshava to be like it. You're doing it, nice, but you don't have a machshava to do it. The only thing, when you go out, but you have a machshava to put it down outside, and then you go outside and put it down. Aren't you missing it here? You're missing something?
No. If you're picking it up with kavana to put it down outside, that means that you're okay. In other words,
I don't have kavana.
What does it mean you don't have kavana? If you know you're going to take it outside, so you're being okir. What does that mean?
No, I want to play with this thing.
So you don't have kavana to put it down outside.
I don't have kavana. Well, I don't have kavana to take
it. You have kavana to play with it and then to carry it outside. So you have a double kavana. Carrying it outside, that's the kavana of akira. That's the kavana of hotzah. Okay. The middle part we skip. Abaye wants to distinguish between two types of standings. Amar Abaye, v'hu sha'amad lafush. Now again, what is Abaye referring to, v'hu sha'amad lafush? According to Rashi, you stood lafush still in Rishus Hayachid, and then you're oker. According to the Rambam, v'hu sha'amad lafush in the Rishus Harabim, and then you're chayav. Both of these are correct. Mimai midamar mar, toch dalad amos amad lafush patur, because that breaks... That's considered to be a hanacha and then a new akira. L'kateif chayav. That's considered to be a continuity of your walking. Chutz l'dalad amos, amad lafush chayav. That's the hanacha. L'kateif patur. We're missing the hanacha. Okay? So we have over here, I mean, this middle gemara works out both according to Rashi and according to Rambam. Middle gemara gives these two cases. The case of where you're restarting and the case where you're completing. When you're restarting, then Omed Lafush restarts. Omed Lakasif doesn't restart. When you're completing, Omed Lafush completes. Omed Lakatef doesn't complete. Just which of them is relevant to the first statement of Rav Yochanan, the Rambam will learn it in one way. He points out, Afilu Amad Latakin Hamasi Olav Adayinu Pater Achi Yomad Lanuach. He's talking about the final Hanukkah. And Rashi learns it that we're dealing with the hanacha before you leave the house. The, in other words, the amida before you leave the house. If it's lekatef, it's not a separate amida. If it's lafush, then it's an amida that can begin a new akira. Okay. In these, yes, I'm sorry, Menachem.
Just going back to the explanation of the Rambam, still both statements are Yochanan, each one is saying something different. In the first statement, he's saying that you don't need a machshava for the hanacha. And the second statement saying is you do need the machshava of the akira to do the mitzvah. So it's incorrect for the Gemara to ask how Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chanazimna. It's two different traditions.
No, because the first, as I understand the first one, if we're saying you don't need the machshava for the hanacha, but what do you need? Because otherwise, what's the otherwise, what do you say? You don't, in other words, that if you don't have, in other words, the chiddush is that even though you had a machshava for akira, since you didn't have the hanacha, you're potter. In other words, that it's sort of built in. It's an echanami. It's an inference, but again, all the Gemara is an inference. Okay. The in these two worlds of omed lafush and omed lahaniach, what over here is the rule, and what over here is the exception? Namely, what if we have another case of omed? Let's say you stop to talk to someone. You're a proper Jew and you stop at a red light. Right? You're carrying something and you stop, and then you know it's, what is that? Namely, when we speak about lafush and lekatef, which of these is the rule? In other words, and which is the exception? Which is the rule that includes all the other cases, and which is the exception? I mean, I think it's never pashut, but I'm biased. What? Lafush means to rest. Lekatef means that you're carrying something on your shoulder and it's slipping, and so you stop to readjust it, and then you continue walking. So we say that when omed lafush is considered to be a hanacha. Again, hanacha has is a dual relevance. It's the end of the world of hotzah, or it can be the beginning of wakira. Right? But that mashenkein omed lekatef is meaningless al pi halacha. Omed lekatef, it's like you didn't stand, like you didn't stand halachically, because all you're doing is simply readjusting that which is on your shoulder.
So if you stop the red light, you have to be lafush. It's not lekatef. Why create a new sort of thing which we never saw in the history? If you're going to stop the red light, so that's.
Yes, and I hear what you're saying, Aaron.
I'd say lekatef is just the opposite. It's like a jogger who waits at a red light, but he really wants to keep going. So he jogs in place so he can keep going. So when he stops for a red light, he's really like continuing to go. He has a mania. He just can't do it, but he's not. He doesn't really.
No. But just take your example. And if this jogger stops at the red light and stops jogging, that's what I'm asking. The person who stops at a red light. Let's say you have a jogger who's carrying something on his shoulder, right? And there's a red light, and so he stops.
Patur.
What?
Patur.
Patur.
Meaning it's not considered a hanacha.
It's not a hanacha, you think?
Yeah.
No, but he gave the case of the person who continues to run. I'm giving the case.
He doesn't, it's a zipping, and would he like to?
He has no reason to be stopped. He wants
okay, I hear what you're both saying. Thank you very much, because you explained to me something I always understood one way, like Rabbi Bleich. But Rav Bednarsh and his Mar Makamos quoted a Sfas Emes that's like Aram. So I never understood how there could be two deos. So now I understand that there could really be two deos. Wonderful. In other words, you should just know that the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, in other words, it's in Siman Shin Mem Tes. There's a Sharet Zion over there, Sivkot and Yud Ches. I always understood it as a Dover Pashut, that omed lekatef, you're really still walking. You know, it's you're just technically, you have a problem. You're going to drop it unless you stop to move it. But you don't want to stop. You don't want to stop. You're stopping sort of bal korchacha because of the masui. Namely, if we'll put it this way, you're intending to continue to carry. You don't want to drop it. In other words, so your stopping is only in order to carry. The malacha is to carry. You're stopping only in order to continue carrying. So you don't want to stop. Masha ein kein, if you stop to talk, or you stop for a red light, or you stop because you're winded, omed lafush, there you are stopping. You're stopping. And I hear it always goes.
I think with Andrew Miller's examples, I think stopping because you're winded is fundamentally different than stopping at a red light.
We have these. The Gemara distinguishes between the Gemara distinguishes between lafush, means when you're winded, and lekatef, which is just when you readjust. What you're 100% correct is that these are two extremes, and there's a long, you know, list of all different reasons why one would stop in between. Your wife calls you. You're walking by in Har Nof, walking by a shul, and you hear Kedusha. In other words, and you stop. No, why are you carrying? Okay, so you're a Mumar L'Chal Shabbos, but you still believe in Kedusha. In other words, there are a million and one situations why one would stop between being winded and adjusting. So the question is, the Gemara is telling us, the Chora, that one of these is the covers the entire gamut, and the other one is the exception. Which way does it go? So be aware, the Mishnah Berurah understands like Rabbi Bleich. Okay? That everything, let me just read the language. Brought the wrong volume. I didn't know. It's the beginning of this volume. Sorry. It's the wrong marim. Okay. It's the wrong piece of paper. Siman Shin, Shin Mem Tet. It's in the fourth. Din Arba Amos Bereshus HaRabim.
So where is this?
Shin Mem Tet, Siman Shin Mem Tet, it's the Shar HaTzion Os Yud Ches. It says, V'nira lefinis daiti barur, d'lekule alma, min haTorah mikri amida, afilu imlo amad lafush behedya, rak mishul eize siba sheminao lelech. Kevon shelo amad l'takein derech masa'o, derak az, only when you're omid l'takein derech masa'o, choshuv kemahalech. V'hu ma'ashamer b'gemara omid lafush, hu lav dafka, elo la'afuke shelo amad l'takein. And he has a raya from a sugya later on, that we're dealing with the behema that stops to be mashed in, to urinate, and that's considered to be the equivalent of omid lafush. Even though the behemah is honest, Hu Adin, he says, if it would be a person, anything which is not letakein is considered to be an amida. Okay, but I do hear from you that it could go in both ways, yes?
My chavrusa brought me a gemara, I can't remember where it is, that if you have to stop, you have to open the door with your...
Right. He brings that as well. He brings that sugi as well. Ubiyos er muchach v'hed yasham. It's that same sugya. Sof kimata lebeise yefshar delo koi purta. It's that sugya daf kuf nun gimel. Okay, that appears to be one direction. The svas emes is dafka there. And kuf nun gimel, and he learns like Rabaron and like Yoni. Okay, so now I see that there are two options of understanding.
I mean, I just thought this example, I don't know if it's a good, it's like when you wash to make motzi. So if there's a hafsaka, you have to make, then you have to make a bracha, right? So, but if you don't have the salt, you say pass the salt, then it's not hafsaka. So here it's almost like the red light. I don't know how you look at it, but it's
okay.
Not
so again, the two ways of viewing it are that we always view you as omeid la'amod unless the only reason that you're moving, that you're fixing it, is to keep carrying. If you're fixing it to keep carrying, so we consider you as still as not having stopped. The other way of viewing it is that we always consider it to be you're still in motion unless you're winded. But if you're not winded, all other things that have come about don't impact upon your Iker Kavana to continue going. Other things that come from the outside, or even an urge to go to the bathroom, all of these are considered to be that you haven't lost your desire to continue moving. Yes.
I think there being a chanal maybe is a little more on the svasemis side. There is a chanal says that you're not considered benoach until you're doing it for the sake of lessening the burden that's on you, and anything less than that is not considered menucha.
He points out, "Kegon sheyiga b'masui she'ala." Haino hanachaso perush lafush. Kegon sheyageya b'masui she'alav. U'miskaven la'amod lehit ravach v'lanuach kedei sheyasur yigio. Ze choshev ki'ilu yaniach hamasa she'alav. No, he's saying a little differently. He's saying that yageya, that's the lafush. That if you you want to say
anything less than that, you're not trying to
stop. Okay, fine. Okay, let's take the extreme case. Yes?
Sorry, just one more thing. This din of Omid Lekatef, is this driven from the din of Akira's Gufo, or there's also a concept of Meniach Lekatef? If, for instance, I put on the ground to fix the Chayfet, so still you'd say no, it's because I'm Meniach Lekatef, only specifically because the Chayfet isn't on the ground, rather it's on the person, so then the person saying, I'm Omid Lekatef, you don't view it as Amida's Gufo.
I think I'm not mistaken, that was dealt with beferush. It's Rabbeinu Yerucham that's quoted over there, that that even if you put it down in order to katef, that it's also still considered to be able to katef. And the Mishnah Berurah says that's crazy. In other words, if you put it down, you put it down. In other words, you know, it's only when it's still on your shoulder. It's a machlokas achronim, a rishonim. Okay, let's take the case that everyone agrees. L'katef. L'katef, we say, is lo ma'alev lo morid. Look at Rashi's formulation and look at Rabbeinu Hananel's formulation, and can you see a difference? Rashi, in the middle of v'hu shamed lafush, lanuach, hahi havya amida, Va'akira de Basrei Havi Akira. Again, this is Rashi Lashitato, that we're using this as a restart. Aval omed l'katef l'takein maso al katefo lav amidahi. Rashi says lav amidahi. If we look in Rabbeinu Hananel, the one that Yoni began reading beforehand, aval l'katef shekavanato l'takein maso me al katefo patur dikemahalech dami v'lo akar v'lo hiniach. Rashi says, lo amad, lav amidahi, and Rabbeinu Hananel says, kemahalech dami. Can you see over here a difference between these two approaches? Let me give you a case, and you tell me what you think would be the halacha. Let's say we have this person who has a masa on his shoulder. He's omed l'katef, and when he's omed l'katef, someone else takes this masa and begins to walk with it. This is not my case. The Rabbi Kivega raises this. Is that considered to be an akira? This person is omed l'katef. He stops. He's adjusting it. Someone picks it up off his shoulder and begins to walk with it. What's the question of Rabbi Kiva Eger? I'm asking from the perspective, we have a rule that Akira requires an object which is stationary and it has to be on a base which is Arba al Arba, right? And we view the Guf as such a base. And the question over here is, how do we view this object? Physically, it's stationary. But what?
It's as if it's moving.
But it's, well, that's our question. What would you say, according to the formulation of Rabbeinu Hananel and according to the formulation of Rashi?
You change the base somehow.
Again, the person who puts this object in this position, his kavana is to continue walking. Rashi says, lo have amida. Rabbeinu Hananel says, kemahalech dami. No, Chaim, what do you say? Okay, Michael. What's the issue over here? What's the issue over here? What are we viewing? I mean, how can we view on one hand and on the other hand? On one hand, this object physically, is it moving or stationary?
What if he gave it to the other? You're giving the example of the other person comes and takes it. What if he gave it to the other person? What would be the Messiah's stand? He transferred to the other person.
But that's not my case. My case is Omed L'Kasef. My case is he wants to continue walking with it. He's just readjusting it. When he's standing there, someone else wants to do him a favor. Let's say that Rabbi Black would be climbing the stairs with something on his shoulder, and it's clear that he is, it's an effort, and someone else comes, and he stops in order to readjust, like sometimes, you know, you readjust baskets, so he stops, it's like readjust, maybe switch hands or whatever, and someone comes by and takes it from him, and says, I'll take it to your house, and takes it. Is that considered to be an akira?
That happens to
people all the time. Okay, the Seder. So that's what the case we're talking about. That's the case that we're talking about. Yes?
Do we look at it as if it's a mamash moving? In which case, when he takes.
So I'm asking from the Lishonos of the Rishonos.
So
Rabbeinu Chananah, who says Kimahalech.
It's mamash Kimahalech.
That's Lechora, the difference between Rabbeinu Chananah and Rashi. That Rabbeinu Chananah says this object is in motion, Kimahalech. It's this person, you know, it's an optical illusion. It's ki'ilu he's standing, but he's not standing. He's just standing lekate. This is not considered to be a meaningful stand. He's kemahalech. And so this object is not nach. Masha'inken, according to Rashi, mapitom, the chevetz baror is nach. But the gavra, the person, is not omeh. The person is, this is not considered to be a restart. It's not like this is not a situation where he's winded, he stops, and then he wants to start again. Namely, that we have over here a difference between our histaklut, according to Rashi, on the person and the chayfetz. Masha'enken, it appears to me, according to Rabbeinu Chananel's formulation, kemahalech, that whatever the person is related, however related to the person, relate to the chayfetz as well. If this person is an optical illusion, the chayfetz is also an optical illusion. In other words, we can view it from one way or the other. Just be aware that the Rav takes for granted that over here, Barur, the Chayfetz is Munach, it's in the Harei Kedem, in Siman Vav, it's page Kaf Beis, Binyan Akiras Gufo, Kakiras Chayfetz, Hikshar Bekiva Eger, Harei Zevadai, Shim Haya Chavero Toan Ochid, Hu Akar Mimenu, Vihinia Chavere Akira Vahanacha Lechiyuv, and even in the world of Omeid Lekatev. So even in the world of Omeid Lekatev. Okay, so, but I do see that, I think that it could go in both ways. Depends, again, how do we view it? We are viewing it from the perspective of the object, in other words, but the person over here is not Nach, but the object, the Maisa is Nach, or we say no. It's not a question over here, it's a lack of an Amid on the part of the person. It's Kemahalach Dami. He's actually still in motion. It's just an optical illusion that it's as though it's in one place, and then whoever takes it would not be taking it from a sitting place. Yes.
The Rav says the chayfetz is nach.
He takes for granted pashut the chayfetz is nach, like we said in Rashi, that the person is not omeid, but the chayfetz is nach. But Rabbeinu Chananel saying kemahalech, I think changes the direction. Okay, Adkan,
That's not
Rabbi Kiva Eger.
Rabbi Kiva doesn't say that
Rabbi Chananel. Rabbi Kiva, no, it's the Rav in Rabbi Kiva Eger.
but does anybody say that?
No one's been like that way in Rabbi Chananel. No, but that's not a raya because I don't know if they saw Rabbi Chananel. Tov. Okay, let's move to next Gemara. Okay, next Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. Now, again, I'm aware the next Gemara is going to bring in names of places, right? Chanut, Paltia, Stav, etc. We're going to come to all of that on Dav Vav Amud Aleph and define Rishus or Amrishus HaYachid. What we're doing now is still dealing with the Malacha of Hotzah. We're dealing with the Malacha of Hotzah that we saw as an Av Malacha to take something from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim. That's Malachas Hotzah. And we need a Nakira and we need a Hanacha. That's the framework that we're dealing with. In terms of how these places are defined, that will come to later on. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamotzi michanut lepaltia derech stav chayav uben azay poter. If machokes tanoim, if you're going from a chanut, which is, what kind of rishus? Rishus hayachid, right? To a paltia, which is a rishus harabim. Derech stav happens to be a carmelis. Well, in other words, is this an issue or not? So it speaks about the fact that according to Rabban, according to Tanakama, it's not an issue. We don't care about that middle ground. You're going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, that's Hotza'ah. Uben Azai Poter. So what we're concerned today is Ben Azai. Rabbanon, we're going to come to, because the Gemara is going to ask what precedent do we have. The Gemara is going to bring different options of precedents, and we're going to move in a totally different direction in terms of the relationship between Mavir Arba Amos and being Motzi. That we're going to move into Emir Tzashem on Wednesday, B'Shah Tova. But we're concerned now with Ben Azai Shita. The Gemara says Ben Azai is Pashut. He has a Shita B'chola Torah Kula, Bishlam Ben Azai Kosavar, Mahalech Ka'omed Dami. Ela Rabbanon, Nehid the Savri, Mahalech Rav Ka'omed Dami, but Hecha Ashkachina Ka'gavdin Dechayv. Why was it so Pashut to Rabbanon that having a middle ground would not be an issue? That we're going to deal with. Okay, we're not talking about that now. Let's simply deal with Ben Azai. No, the moment you see Ben Azai's halacha of Mahalech Ka'omed, what red light should light up in your heads? Yes, Moshe.
How can you ever be chayav for walking?
That's Tosis's question. That's certainly a red light, but I'm going back to the world of Hebrew. What letter over here? Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we have over here a Kaf HaDimyon. And this is always where we're going to have a Chakira. Kluta Kamisha Huncha. Mahalech Ki Omed. Are we dealing over here with an equation, or are we dealing over here with a parallelism? No, just as we saw by Rabbi Akiva, what are our two options over here of Mahalech Ki Omed? No, Yomo, what do you say? What's one option? Ki Omed means? Literally. Mahalech Ka'omed, we have over here that it is a mitzius, that when you are walking, you are really standing. It's a way of viewing reality. You always, when you walk, have one foot on the ground. That's a reality. Even when horses walk, they always have 2 feet on the ground. Right? In other words, out of the four. They always have a foot on the ground. And that means that you are always connected to the ground. And that's the definition of walking, of walking and standing. Therefore, when you, according to this approach, when you are starting in Rishus HaYochid, and then you go through a Carmelis, and you end up in a Rishus HaRabim, you are in this area stopping and beginning again. Stopping and beginning again. So we have to take this into account. You are not going from Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim, you're stopping in the Carmelis. From Rishus HaYochid to a Carmelis is Patur. From a Carmelist to a Rishus HaRabim is Patur. Patur of Aser, but it's Patur. So that's why Rabbi Ben Azai says Patur, because we have over here a Metzius. What's the other option of understanding Ben Azai? What's the other option of understanding Ben Azai? Not that we have over here an equation, but think back to Rabbi Akiva when we spoke about Kluta Kamisha Huncha. One option was that even when it's flying through the air, it's as though it stopped. It stopped, it stopped, it stopped, it stopped, it stopped. That's what we have over here. What's the other option?
Halachically.
Excellent. Halachically, you don't have to stop. All you require is to be in a place. It's as though you're standing in the place. In Achiname, you're not standing. But you can't ignore this place. You were nochach. You were present in this reshus. And that's all that you need for it to be a hanocha. That's all that you need for it to be an amida. It's mahalech ki'ome. It's as though you stood over here, not because physically this is the reality of where you are, but all that we require is that you are nochach, that you are present in a certain area, and that's the equivalent of your of a hanocha. That's the equivalent of your being in that area. So we have either a physical hanocha and akira, or we have a halachic hanocha and Akira. Let's look at the Rishonim and see how they understood Ben Azai, and from this we would come to understand which way they learned. Tosfos begins simply with why was the Gemara so bothered that Rabbanan required a precedent? Maybe that's the whole reason that Ben Azai disagreed, because he said there's no precedent. Why have to come on to Halach Ka'omet? Tosfos says, even if there is a precedent. Okay, Beseder. Then Tosfos brings Yerushalmi. Ubi Yerushalmi, let's start from there. Parich al daite de Ben Azai. This is Moshe's question. Ein Adam, according to Ben Azai, mitchayev al arba amos b'rishus harabim le'olam. Diei osen nami kahuncha al kol ama v'ama v'yipater. Umeshane, mishkachas le'be kofetz. We give it an ukimta, we have no feet on the ground. When you're walking, you have one foot on the ground. That's ka'omed. If you have no feet on the ground, That's how we could be chayav arba amos. Vashas dilan lo chashiv lo pircha. Kedamar bahazorek dalad amos birshus harabim hilchasa gemira lo. It's halacha Moshe Misinai against logic. Even though logically you should be patur, but we have halacha Moshe Misinai that you're going to be chayav. Ulahachi lo maksha ala, and that's why this gemara was not asked on Ben Azai in the Bavli. V'chein klut l'Rabbi Akiva. Af agav de kamisha huncha dame bizorik dalet amos brishus harabim chayav. Why don't we say that it stopped in the middle? V'lo amrinan kamisha huncha betoch dalet amos brishus harabim, because this is part of the halacha Moshe Misinai. Okay, this we saw. How did Tosfos learn Ben Azai? Did Tosfos learn the kaf hadimyon as a metzius, or did Tosfos learn the kaf hadimyon as a halacha? That it's as though you are that being present in an area is all that you need in order to be considered nach. Excuse me? The Yerushalmi is certainly a metzius. But when Tosa says that we accept the Yerushalmi's question, that the question is a valid question. That the question is a valid question. You understand, there are Rishonim, and we'll come to them, who felt that this question was not a valid question. Tosfos felt it was a valid question. Maybe let's just see one of those Rishonim for a minute. Tosfos read, Ben Azai Kosavar Mahalach Kome Dami, Pirish, I Kashe, Im Ken Kishe Mavir, Dalad Amos Rishus Harabin, Neima Hachi, Vetevei Afsaka, Ben Tchila Stardosof Dalad, Tshuva, Lo Amar Ben Azai Hachi, Ela Hecha Deika Chiluk Rishuyot, Avo b'dalad amas rishus harabim leka chiluk rishus b'nehem lo amar. The whole question doesn't get off the ground. In order for the question to get off the ground, how did you have to view Ben Azai? As a metzius. If it's a metzius, so then ma'in nafkamina whether you're going from rishus to rishus, ma'in nafkamina whether you're walking arba and rishus harabim, you always have a foot on the ground. It's as though you're always miniach oker, miniach oker, miniach oker. How do you ever have arba amos? But if we say no, there's no such mitzius, but there is a halacha that when you go from rishus hayochid to rishus harabim via Carmelis, even if you don't stop, halachically it's as though you're in this rishus. What does it have to do with arba amos rishus harabim? It's a din in rishuyos. It's a din that you are considered to be nochach in this rishus. It has nothing to do with arba amos rishus harabim. Namely, Tosas is working off that is working off of the assumption of Yerushalmi. We have a problem. If we have a problem, it's because he views Rab Ben Azai as a mitzius. You have to answer the problem. You can answer with an ukimta. You can answer with halacha Moshe Misinai. But Torah Tosas really doesn't get off the ground. If we view Ben Azai as a halacha, the halacha is that when you go through a rishus, even if you don't stop, it's like you were nach in that rishus. It's like you were nach in that rishus. That's Tosas Rid, that's the Me'iri, that's the Rashba in Ksuvas, Avo Ma'avir, Arba Meshus, Arba Megol, Amar Ben Azai. In other words, what is nothing one to do with the other. Okay? So that's what we have over here in terms of our overview. In terms of our overview. Just one second. Yeah. Leaving aside the question of Ma'avir Arba Amos Birshus Harabim, what would you say would be The language of the Rashba in Ksubas, who quotes the Ravid, is Avo b'mavir arba amos b'shus sarabim go amar ben azai delo odif me omed l'katef. Which, what over here is, in words, the... What's being pointed out over here? In other words, we pointed out that if you're walking Arba Amos Bishus Harabim, and in the middle you stop L'Katef, and then you continue, are you Chayev or Patur? You're Chayev. You're Chayev. Why are you Chayev? Because we don't view the Omid L'Katef as having broken your continuity. It's only an optical illusion. You according to Rashi, there was no Amida. According to the Rabbi Nochanan, it was kimahalech. According to both of them, right? In other words, you're chayev. So the din, in other words, so again, what is the Rabbi pointing out over here? When we speak about omed, when we speak about mahalech ka omed,
it's such a small amida, it's equivalent to not having been omed at all.
Ah, in other words, from the level of metzius, if we say that even when you're actually omed, we ignore it. Kal v'chomer, if over here you're not actually omed, you're always moving. Kal v'chomer, that's, in other words, so this is, in other words, so what's the din of mahalach ka'omed? It's a halacha. It's not a mitzius. It's a halacha, but it only applies b'rishuyos, namely that when you move from rishus to rishus, that's when we apply the halacha. Okay, that's, in other words, that being present in a certain rishus, that's all that you need, yes?
This is only when you go from
Yachaz Rishon Rabbim, through a Karmelis, through a Makom Ptur, then Ben Azai says, it's as though the moment that, even though you didn't stop, it's as though you stopped. And when you go through a Rishus, we view you as having been, just like according to Rabbi Akiva, when something is flying through the air, it's as though it stopped in the air. Not that it actually stopped. Halachically, that's considered to be a Hanacha. Halachically, that's considered to be a hanacha. The fact that it's present in the airspace, that's considered to be a hanacha according to Rabbi Akiva. You don't need makom dalet al dalet. All you need is that it be present. Masha'enkein, according to the... according to Ben Azza, he's not dealing in terms of flying through airspace. He's dealing with walking, but it's the same principle. The principle is that when you're walking, it's as though you're present in that space, and that's all that we need in order for us to view it as a hanacha. Okay, Tosus over here, if we can finish, we'll try. There are two points that Tosus then continues to. One is the suffix of the Riva, and the other is the Venira L'Rashba. So let's take them one by one. B'Riva Misafkale. You have it? It's about 10 lines on the bottom of Tosus. B'Riva Misafkale. Kevan debedalid amos birshus harabim, lo amar mahalech kaomei dame, afagav de baalma kaomei dame le ben azai, im chiev ben azai afilu amad lofush toch dalid amos, im rav. Vechain, im lo amad chutz le dalid amos, kagon shenetola acher mi yodo. What bothered over here the Riva? The Riva is working off of Tosfos, right? That Ben Azai's halacha is a mitzius. If Ben Azai's halacha is a mitzius, so Moshe asked earlier, how do we ever get our Ma'avir Arba'amos through Sarabim? So we say, halacha Moshe Misinai. We suspend the mitzius. We suspend the mitzius in order to be chayav. So it comes along to Rivon and asks, how far do we suspend the Mitzius? How much are we suspending? What if he actually stops Lafush in the middle of Arba Amos? The same way that we say, according to Ben Azai, we suspend the Mitzius and say that even though Mahalach Ka Omed, we view it as though he's continuing. Are we going to say that even if he's actually omed, we're going to view it as though he's continuing? Or at the other end, when he after he's gone through the arba amos, so we say that we view it according to Ben Azai as though he stopped. So if someone took something from him as he's walking, would we say also that we view it as though he stopped? Namely, what is this halacha Moshe Mitzrayim change in terms of the world of Ben Azai? What maybe let's put it a little sharper. Are we suspending the Mahavech Ki'omeg? Or maybe what else are we suspending? The Omeg. We're saying maybe according to Ben Azai, there's no din of Omeg when you come to Arba Amos Birshu Sarabim. If you stop in the middle for 10 minutes and then you continue. So you're still going to be chayef because we have this halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that you're chayef for being mavir arba amos birshus harabim. So just as mahalach, which is a mitzius of omeid, we suspend, maybe we also suspend omeid. That's the Riva's question. You realize that you know, it's look at Tosas Harash says that's absurd. Mash and histapik ha-Riva leben Azai le-Rabbi Akiva nearly she'en roi le-histapik. The kaimalan b'chol duchta leben Azai mahalach ka-omeid dom le-Rabbi Akiva klut ha-gemisha huncha rak linyan toch dalet amos mishum da'ar ba'amos gemara gemira le I efshar l'schayev binyan acher v'chein amomid lachush b'toch dalet amos pshita the pater leben Azai. Namely, what over here is Tosas Harash saying? What's the nature of the suspension of the din of mahalach ka'omed? It's only a last resort, as Moshe pointed out. If we say mahalach ka'omed, how are you ever going to be chayav mavir arba amos? So we suspend that which is necessary to make you chayav, but we're not suspending the din of omed. But the Riva has a question that once already we're suspending. Are we suspending only the kaf hadimyon? We're breaking the connection between mahalach and omed in terms of arba amos, or are we saying that this whole equation is that which is suspended? Then there's no din of omeid, no din of omeid, you know, it's in terms of pottering you if you're omeid in, and no din of omeid in terms of being mechayev you if you're standing, if you're already carried out. Yes.
If you start off in one place, you have dalet amos, right? If you walk three amos, place the object down, and then pick it up again. Is that a new place where you picked it up? Is that a new makom dalet? Or so?
No. New makom dalet. In what respect? Midoraisa or midor? In other words,
as in, can you now walk another four?
So we paskin al pitin that you can midoraisa. You can walk three amos, put it down. Walk three amos, put it down. Walk three amos, put it down. But midrabanan, pachos mi arba amos, is generally aser midrabanan. Unless there's questions of hefsin meruba, tzarach gadol, etc. But midoraisa, yeah.
So it sounds like this whole issue just is ridiculous.
In what respect?
Meaning, if you're standing, you stop. If you like stop, you're stopping. It's not like it doesn't make any sense.
No, but we're asking according to Ben Azai. We don't paskin like Ben Azai. Were we to paskin like Ben Azai, then question is how different would our halachic world look? Would it just be a temporary suspension of the kaf hadimyon that we say that even though generally mahalach is ka'omed in terms of halacha Moshe Mitzrayim mavir arba amos, you're going to be chayav even according to Ben Azai, but all the other rules stick? Or do we say no, that this halacha Moshe Mitzrayim suspends the world of Amida? That's the question of the Riva. The Riva viewed it as having two sides. Tosas Harash says that there's no question over here. The suspension was only that which was necessary, so that even according to Ben Azai, this halacha Moshe Mitzrayim would be valid, that you could be yichayah for being mavir arba amos, but not to suspend the whole world of Amida. But the Riva felt that it was shayach. The last Nakuda of Tosfos, let's just, again, we'll see if we can fit it in so we can start new next time. Nira L'Rashba, four lines from the bottom. L'Rav Yochanan de Omar L'El, Hamafana chafatot mi zavis levazavis. V'nimrach aleihem v'hotziyan patur. Res lei de ben azai. The Rebben Azai, the Amar Mahalach Kaome Dame, Have Chayav. Vachain Muchach Behedye Beresh Elun Na'aros. That the whole din that we saw of Rav Yochanan, that if you have in mind when you pick up an object to carry it within the house, Mizavis Lazavis, and then you take it out of the house without stopping, that then you're going to be Pator even if you put it down outside, because we don't have an Akira. That can't go like Ben Azai. Because what would we say according to Ben Azai? The moment that you take that last step before the door, that's considered to be an Amida, and that Amida is for the purpose of walking out of the door, and so you're always going to have a change of Kavana with an Amida. My Nafgamina, you're always going to have an Akira. You're always going to have an Akira with Kavana to be Motzi on that last step. That's what the Rashba posits. That's what the Rashba posits. The problem with that approach, namely that Rav Yochanan and Ben Azai are totally incompatible, is that the Gemara brings them one after the other without any he'ara, and we'll see on Davav Amud Aleph that Rav Yochanan comes to explain Ben Azai, and there are Rishonim who say black and white, the Rush and the Rif, that Rav Yochanan holds like Ben Azai. But the Chora, what the Rashba points out, is very, very powerful. In other words, is there a way around it? So you should be aware that there is a Pnei Yehoshua on our sugya. The Pnei Yehoshua says, in other words, how we're going to view Ben Azai. Well, one second. Well,
I don't see why it's so positive,
but not like another. No, it's because he's carrying things around the house, and then he decides to walk out the door. According to Rav Yochanan, Hamavir Chafatim Yizavos Nimachayim Hotzion Patur. Why? Because the Akira Rishona was not for that purpose. But according to Ben Azai, who cares about the Akira Rishona? We have an Akira right before he leaves the house. Every step is a new Akira, according to Ben Azai. Every step is a new Akira, according to Ben Azai.
So we're not saying like B'toch Rishus Yachad is like B'toch Ta'aleva Amos Rishus
Arad. So firstly, what you're pointing out is that the Tosas is only saying this L'shita so that he views Ben Azai as a Metzius. If Ben Azai would be a Din and Rishuyos, so then this has nothing to do with Ben Azai, right? Clearly. What? Coming to 1 minute. Okay. So Pnei Yehoshua points out something else, and just think about that Ben Azai's halacha is only in Hanacha. It's not in Akira. Ben Azai's halacha is that when you're walking, it's considered to be a Hanacha. That he's defining for us that a Hanacha does not require something to be to have a certain permanence, as long as you are temporarily meniach mahalech ka'ome dame. But in terms of Akira, he never redefined Akira. More than that, I think what Yosef is pointing out is Tosa says, I'm not saying this on my own. Kedemuchach behedya bereish elu na'aros. The sugi in elu na'aros is talking about kam le'midurava minay. The sugi over there is talking about how do we get to a case where you steal something on Shabbos and you're going to be patur. Because when you steal something, the moment you're magbia, you stole it. When you cross the boundary between the Rishus HaYochid and the Rishus Rabim, that's when you're over Shabbos. You're always going to be stealing it before the Chiyuv of Shabbos. And to have Kamei Midrabimine, we need a simultaneity. So the Gemara says that, well, maybe we could set it up that you know, where it's you were goerit or omed lafush, omed, you know, it's all the things. No, according to Ben Azai, no matter what, we're going to have, when you pick it up, you're going to have an act of gezeila, and the moment before you leave, that's when you're going to have a new Akira. You can't view the original picking up as an Akira according to Ben Azai, because the moment before you leave, you always have a new akira. That's the hochacha that Ben Azai must be a din, not only in Hanacha, but also in Akira. It's a black and white Gemara. So there is over here, you should just be aware, there is a Rosh Yosef who says that no one ever claimed that that Gemara in Ksuvas has to work out. Rav Yochanan has to work out. Maybe Rav Yochanan is choik on the Gemara in Ksuvas. But that's, you know, I agree, it's very, very... So what we have over here is that clearly according to the world of Metzius, and Tosfos' approach, that Ben Azai and must be a din in Akira, in Hanacha, not only in Rishuyos, but also within Ma'avir Arbaos Bishus Harabim, and therefore you have to come on to the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Those who want to say that no, that the Ben Azai has nothing to do, Ben Azai is a local Halacha in the world of Rishuyot, you know, where it can certainly deal with our Gemara. In Achinami, the Gemara in Ksuvas is going to be difficult according to them. They're going to have to deal with that Gemara. Okay. What I'd like to move over to now is, will bring us, Emir Tzah Hashem, up to the Gemara of Rishuyos. There are sort of two parts to the page. One is, and the Gemara is going to say, what's the precedent for this world of moving from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim via a third area? So the Gemara says we have this din of Ma'avir Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim. Now we've been talking about Ma'avir Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim, but we never really defined what the relationship is between Ma'avir Amos Rishus HaRabim and Hotzah. So that's what we'll do, since the Gemara deals with it over here on Vavam and Aleph, that's where we're going to start from. So the first section, in other words, is basically to deal with the world of Ma'avir Amos Rishus HaRabim. We're working off the formulation of the Baal HaMa'or that you'll see over here. And the Baal HaMa'or wants to connect Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim to a Gemara Bava Metzia that many of you learned last year, that Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim Konoslo. And the question, what's the connection between these two halachos? So that's the first set of Mar Makomos. And then to see that really this formulation of the Baal HaMa'or is not a Das Yochid. Look in the Ramban, the Me'iri, the Ran, and v'chulei. However, there is another approach to Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim, which is known as Reb Chaim's approach. And it does answer a very, very powerful stira within the Rambam. So that's this middle section over here. And then we'll try and see the nafkumenis between Reb Chaim's approach and the world of Rishonim. And we'll be honest in terms of who was on which side of the equation, but what are the nafkaminas? And then we'll come to our Gemara. In other words, in terms of the Tosas, to be a Maskel Hossam, how to fit in these options into our sugya. Okay? So, Belina, there are 5 minutes. What?
No,
okay. 5 minutes after the bris. Five minutes after Birkas HaMazon, if we can come up here, I'd appreciate it very much. Right after davening. But after this, but then it's a suit. So 5 minutes after the suit on Wednesday.